All right, so we talk a lot about rights and the law and all that, but it's usually focused on adults, right?
Right.
But it's so important to remember that young people, they have their own set of protections and rights under the law. And well, we've got to understand how those work too.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're diving into today, a case from Indiana called ASV State back in 2009.
Yeah.
And this case really gets at some core issues, like when do a juvenile's rights actually kick in, and what kind of legal process are they entitled to when they're facing these kinds of situations?
It's a huge question. And as you said, it's not just about treating young people like they're mini adults, you know?
Right.
The whole point of the juvenile justice system is to try and find that balance, you know,
Right.
between making sure they're treated fairly under the law, but also recognizing that they're still developing and they have different needs and a huge potential for growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this case, ASV State, it really gives us a good look at how those ideas actually play out in real life, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So to set the stage, let's lay out what happened in this case, kind of give everyone a roadmap for our discussion.
Okay, that's good.
So it all starts on October 6th, 2008, when 14-year-old AS is taken into custody for allegedly committing battery.
Okay.
And then the very next day, October 7th, they hold an initial hearing. Now, this is important. Okay, AS didn't have a lawyer with her at this hearing, and both she and her mom, they signed a waiver document. Then a few days later, on October 10th, the official delinquency petition is filed with the court, and AS finally gets a lawyer appointed to represent her.
Okay.
Now, fast forward a bit to January 7th, 2009. This is where we hit that fact-finding hearing that's almost 90 days after the petition was filed.
Wow, that's a while.
Yeah, and finally, on February 20th, AS is adjudicated delinquent, which basically means the court formally found her responsible for the battery. And because she was already on probation from a previous case, the court decided to extend that probation.
Okay, so with that timeline, especially that long stretch before the fact-finding hearing, I gotta ask, why does all that timing even matter so much? You know, we're dealing with a young person here, someone who might not completely grasp the legal ins and outs.
Right, that's a key question.
Yeah.
And it all really comes down to the fundamental right to have a lawyer. You know, that's a cornerstone of our justice system for everyone.
For sure.
So let's break it down, right?
Okay.
We have the 6th and 14th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the Indiana Constitution, all guaranteeing the right to counsel.
Yep.
But in this case, the Indiana Supreme Court went a step further, and they really emphasized that in juvenile cases, the state has a much higher burden to prove that a young person truly and knowingly waived their right to a lawyer.
Ah, that's interesting. So it's not just about having a form signed, it's about making sure they really understand what they're giving up.
Exactly. And that heightened burden, it's a huge difference from how things work in adult court.
Right, because a young person's brain is still developing, right?
Exactly.
They might not fully get the long-term consequences of their decisions or all the legal complexities.
Yeah, they might be more easily influenced or pressured. And that means just signing a paper might not actually mean they truly understood and voluntarily gave up their right to have a lawyer there to protect them.
Yeah.
And in AS's case, the court said that waiver she signed at that first hearing wasn't good enough.
Really? Why not?
Well, the judge didn't really ask her any questions to make sure she understood what she was doing.
Ah, so they just had her sign the paper and that was it.
Pretty much. And the court said that's not enough. You know, just having her and her mom sign a document doesn't prove that she actually understood the risks of going forward without a lawyer, especially at such an early and crucial point in the whole process.
That makes sense. But hold on, she did eventually get a lawyer appointed a few days later, right?
Yes, she did.
So why wasn't that good enough?
Good question. So here's the thing, right? That very first detention hearing, it's seen as a super critical stage in the legal process. That's where a lot of important rights are triggered right from the start. And the court said that because AS didn't have a lawyer there to advise her and protect those rights right from the beginning, the whole thing was basically unfair.
So even though she got a lawyer later on, the fact that she didn't have one at that initial hearing, that really messed things up.
Right. It was a fundamental error in the eyes of the court. But here's where it gets interesting, okay?
Okay.
The Indiana Supreme Court ultimately decided to uphold the final decision to adjudicate AS delinquent.
But wait a minute, how does that work? You just said the whole thing was unfair because she didn't have a lawyer at the beginning.
Yeah, so the court made a distinction between that first detention hearing and the later fact-finding hearing.
Okay.
They said because AS did have a lawyer at the fact-finding hearing, where the evidence of the alleged battery was actually presented and considered, the final decision itself wasn't necessarily tainted by the earlier mistake.
So it's like they acknowledge that the initial error was a big deal, but they said it didn't completely ruin everything that came after it.
Right. It's a tricky balance. They're trying to strike, acknowledging the importance of that early right to counsel, but also recognizing that she did have representation during the key part where the evidence was presented.
I see. So they're kind of trying to find a middle ground there. It's interesting, though, because it really shows the difference in how the juvenile justice system is supposed to work compared to the adult system.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not just about punishment. It's supposed to be about helping the young person and giving them guidance and trying to address their needs, you know?
Exactly. And that brings us to the second huge legal issue in this case.
Okay, what's that?
Does a young person have a right to a jury trial in these delinquency proceedings?
That's a big one.
It is.
Yeah.
And the Indiana Supreme Court said, nope, they don't.
Wow. So no jury trial for juveniles in these situations?
Not in Indiana. And the reasoning behind that decision, it really tells you a lot about how the court views the whole purpose of the juvenile justice system.
Okay, I'm listening.
They were worried that bringing in jury trials with all their formality and that potential for things to get really adversarial, that could actually undermine what the juvenile system is supposed to be about.
Right, because it could shift the focus away from what's best for the child and more towards just punishing them.
Exactly. And they even quoted some language from previous cases, emphasizing that juvenile court judges, they need to have a certain approach.
Oh, like what?
They need patience, understanding, and a genuine interest in the welfare of the young person.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they're dealing with kids, right? They need a different approach than you might have in an adult criminal case.
Right. The idea is that a judge with their specialized training and focus on what's best for the child, they're better equipped to handle these sensitive cases than a jury might be.
It's interesting, though. It does kind of seem like a very paternalistic view of the system.
Yeah.
Like they know what's best for the child, even if the child might not see it that way.
Right. And that raises some tough questions about how far that rehabilitation focus should go,
Yeah, like does it ever go too far? Does it sometimes come at the cost of other due process rights that we consider essential in the adult system?
It's a constant debate for sure.
Yeah.
And ASV State, it really lays out where the Indiana Supreme Court stands on these issues, at least when it comes to the right to counsel and the right to a jury trial.
Gotcha. Now, can we go back to that timeline thing for a minute?
Okay, sure.
You mentioned that 90-day gap between when they filed the delinquency petition and when they finally had that fact-finding hearing.
Right.
Why was that? Okay, Indiana law usually says those hearings have to happen within 60 days.
Yeah, so there's a really important detail in that 60-day rule.
Okay, what is it?
It's not just 60 calendar days straight.
Yeah.
There are some exceptions that can make that time frame longer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so the law says you don't count Saturdays, Sundays, or any legal holidays that fall within that 60-day period, especially if the young person isn't being held in detention.
Ah, so if it falls on a weekend or a holiday, it doesn't count towards the 60 days.
Exactly. And in ASN's case, even though the fact-finding hearing happened 90 days after they filed the petition, the court looked at the calendar and did the math. And when they took out all those weekends and holidays that fell within that 90-day period, the actual number of days they counted was within the 60-day limit.
So even though it seemed like a long delay on paper, it was actually still considered on time, according to the law.
Yep. And that just goes to show how important it is to really understand the specifics of legal rules,
Right, because those little details, they can make a big difference.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our deep dive into ASV State, what are the big takeaways here for you?
All right, let's recap.
First, this case really drives home the point that the state has a huge responsibility to make sure young people truly understand what it means to give up their right to a lawyer.
Right. They can't just have them sign a form and call it a day.
Nope. The court expects a lot more than that. They want to see real effort to ensure that the young person understands the risks involved.
Yeah, because we're talking about a fundamental right here.
Exactly. And it shows that juvenile courts are not just mini adult courts. They operate under a different set of principles with a much stronger emphasis on protecting young people.
Okay, what else?
Second, the case makes it clear that in Indiana, at least, juveniles don't have a constitutional right to a jury trial in these types of delinquency cases.
Right, and that decision really highlights how different the philosophy is in the juvenile system compared to the adult system.
For sure. They're not just focused on punishment, they're looking at the bigger picture, trying to figure out what's best for the child's future.
And sometimes that means making decisions that might seem a little unusual from an adult perspective.
Right. And finally, we talk about that rule about the timing of fact-finding hearings.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember that while the general rule is 60 days from when they filed the delinquency petition, there are those exceptions for weekends and holidays.
Yeah, and that's especially important when the young person isn't being held in detention.
Right. Those little details can really change how the timeline of a case actually plays out.
So to sum it all up, ASD State, it really reminds us that the juvenile justice system, it has its own unique goals and challenges.
Yeah.
It's not just about punishment. It's about finding a way to both protect the rights of young people and help them get back on track, you know?
Absolutely. And to leave you with one final thought to ponder.
Go ahead.
We talked about how the court stressed that heightened burden when a young person waives their rights.
Yeah.
So what are some ways we could actually make that happen? You know,
what do you mean?
Like, what are some practical things the legal system could do to make absolutely sure that a young person really gets what it means to give up such an important right?
That's a good question.
It is. It's something to think about as we keep exploring this whole complex world of juvenile justice and the rights of young people.
Absolutely. It's an ongoing conversation. And
yeah.
Cases like this, they really help us understand the nuances and the challenges.
For sure. All right. Well, that's our deep dive into ASV State.
Thanks for breaking that down. It was really insightful.
Of course. Always happy to dig into these important cases with you.
Looking forward to the next one.
Me too.
See you then.
Take care.
You too.